Hi, this is Walter Montero, and you're listening to this week's edition of the Real Estate and Mortgage Show. Good afternoon. Welcome to Whiteboard Wednesday. Sorry we missed you last week. Had a couple of personal things going on. Just life, funerals, that kind of stuff. Anyway, don't want to bore you with my problems and that sort of thing. But anyway, wanted to share some information with you this week with regards to what's going on in the marketplace. So I was on the phone with my brother the other day and we were talking about what the state of the market is. And I think that the real estate prices are back to 2017 levels. If you recall, 2018, we had some of the changes go on in the marketplace with regards to the mortgage rules and all that kind of stuff, and that kind of slowed things down a little bit. And anyway, things seem to be coming back, so much so that guess what's going on like crazy again? Multiple offers are going on like crazy, especially in our little market here in Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo. If you're below that sort of $700,000 mark, so 600 and below, you're in more than likely, if you're a buyer in today's market, and you've probably experienced it, you're more than likely going to be into multiple offer situations. Now, that's all going to depend on how the listing is actually priced. What a lot of smart sellers are doing today is they are purposely underpricing their listings. They're doing that, folks, because they want multiple offers. They want a bidding war. They want an auction type atmosphere on their home. And they're going to get it too, because there is just no inventory on the market. There's not enough listings for the buyers that are in the marketplace. Okay? So with that in mind, I wanted to make sure that I gave you a few pointers on how to deal in multiple offers. So I wrote down a few things on this little piece of paper here. I don't know if they're in any particular order. These are just things that sort of came to mind for me, and I want to bring them to your attention. Now, it's Whiteboard Wednesday. We're in front of the whiteboard. I don't know how much of the whiteboard we're going to use, okay? But I'm going to share with you as much information as I can. So when a listing comes on the market today, typically what happens is the seller will purposely underprice the property to draw attention to the listing. And then what they'll do is they'll establish a deadline in terms of when they're actually going to be entertaining offers. So today is October the 9th. Typically today, if somebody was to list their property today, they probably would put down that they would be looking at offers somewhere around the 16th of October. So usually about a week, they put it out about a week out. And then what they do is they let buyers come and go. They get everybody very excited about the property. And then on offer day, then they have multiple offers on their property, hopefully, if everything goes properly, if everything was done properly, okay? Now, here's a couple of pointers I want to give you about dealing in multiple offers and dealing with those types of listings. Number one, bully offers. Don't be afraid to make a bully offer. If you don't know what a bully offer is, basically, that's just another term for what we call a preemptive offer. So that is basically an offer that is given to the seller before the date that he is expecting offers to be entertained. So you give them that offer, you make it irrevocable for, say, let's say the end of the day or even 24 hours, and say, hey, I know you're entertaining offers on this day, but I want you to look at my offer today. And then if you give them the offer, depending on how that seller has instructed the listing agent, there's an obligation for the listing agent to present that offer. Now, he could also be obligated not to present the offer depending on how he's instructed his agent. Because sometimes what they'll do is they'll tell them, even if you get an offer, I don't want you to call me. So it all depends on how that seller's direction was actually executed. But don't be afraid to make bully offers, okay? Now, understand that there is a protocol when you get a bully offer. If they get a bully offer and they've had other people look at the property or express the interest in the property, by rights, they do have to let those other people know that, hey, I know we said we're waiting for a week, but we are looking at offers today. Are you willing to come to the table as well? So you still might be in a multiple offer situation, but with a bully offer, that chance is lessened, okay? Now, don't always count on bully offers coming together, because oftentimes the seller does instruct people not to do them. Now, the one thing that I want you to be aware of with bully offers is, if you're going to be a bully, you go in and be a bully, okay? There's nothing worse than somebody having, let's say, a listing for $500,000 that is already, let's say, underpriced to begin with, and you come in with a bully offer of $475,000. Folks, that's not a bully offer. That's a crappy offer. A bully offer, you'd come in over the top rope, 5 to 10, 525, 550. What you want to do is you want to go in and say, hey, pal, I'm going to give you good money, and I'm going to give it to you today, okay? That is what puts a seller back on his heels and says, well, hold it here. Maybe I better consider this offer. Okay, so when you're making bully offers, don't make those goofy offers with low balls and filled with conditions. Be a bully. If you're going to be a tough guy, show up in the schoolyard and be a tough guy. Don't come in with these wimpy offers. Okay, nothing worse than wasting the listing agent's time. Next question, or the next point I want to bring up, is price and conditions. A lot of times people say, hey, you know, we know this property is underpriced. What should I actually offer? Okay. And it's usually a pretty good question. So the thing is this is where you want to lean back on your agent and say, okay, well, you're the expert in the marketplace. What is this property really worth? Okay. And then you're going to lean back on them taking a look at comparable sales of what homes similar to this have been selling for. All right. So you got to follow your agent's guide. The other thing is conditions. Okay. Conditions are fine. I've been in multiple offer situations where every offer had conditions in it. Okay. But I can tell you that any condition weakens the strength of an offer. So if you're going to go in with conditions, make sure that they're either short, they're well taken care of. If you've got, let's say, a financing condition, for example, make sure that, you know, you may even get a letter from your lender or from your mortgage broker saying, hey, I have been pre-approved. I just need to make sure that the house is worth what I'm paying for. So, you know, you've got that sort of thing going on. Now, the one thing I want to bring up here is, does an unconditional offer have more strength than a conditional offer? And it's a tricky question, because what's going to make the difference is the height of the price, okay? So in other words, I've had situations where we get a cash offer, it's X amount of dollars, and then we get a conditional offer, but the price is way up here. So a lot of times, because the market is so robust, the seller feels that, hey, I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to accept that conditional offer, because even if the condition doesn't come together, there's been 50 people through my house this week. The chances are these people are going to be back to make an offer anyway. They're not all going to buy a house in the same week. So why not take a chance? So keep in mind, just because you're cash doesn't always make you king. Cash is not always king. Money is king, okay? So if you're a high price and you still got conditions, that's fine. If it's conditional on sale of property, though, that's a totally different deal. Conditional on financing, conditional on inspection, those are fine. Even inspection is a little bit weak, because inspection's a walk-away clause. A buyer can all of a sudden get cold feet and walk away from the deal, okay? So be very careful about the conditions that you put in. Follow your agent's guide, okay, in terms of how to address the deal. You may even want to do a pre-inspection. If you want a home inspection, you may even want to do a pre-inspection. So before they're even entertaining offers, ask if the seller's open to a pre-inspection. Sometimes they're not. And I'll tell you why they're not. Because sometimes they would prefer not to know anything crazy about the property. Let me give you an example. A few weeks ago, I was involved in a conditional offer, in a multiple offer, and somebody wanted to do a pre-inspection. We allowed it. Guess what happened? We found vermiculite insulation in the attic. All of a sudden, we had to disclose, now that we know, we had to disclose that to all the parties involved in the transaction. Now, vermiculite, only 30% of vermiculite actually contains asbestos. So it may or may not be a problem. We had the vermiculite sent off, and when it came back, it actually showed that there was no asbestos in the insulation. But here's the problem. We didn't get it back in time in order to deal with the offers. So everybody that came to the table, we now had to disclose that there was vermiculite insulation in the property. So what you'll find is sometimes sellers will say, hey, you want to make an inspection? That's fine. Put the inspection in the offer, but we're not allowing pre-inspection. So it could happen, folks. Just keep that in mind, okay? The other thing, of course, is know the number of offers you're competing with. So when you're getting into a multiple offer situation, make sure you know how many offers you're up against. 2, 3, 5, 10, 13, 20, 25. And you know, these numbers sound crazy. They're not. I've been in all of those situations, okay? So keep in mind, if you're up against, say, 13 other offers, properties say listed at 400,000, and you're up against 13 offers, what that's telling me is a few things. This property is probably grossly underpriced, and you gotta keep that in mind, okay? We had a situation the other day where a property was grossly underpriced, and my buyer wanted to come in just $10,000 or $15,000 above. It's not going to happen, okay? It's not going to happen. So keep that in mind. Know the number of offers you're dealing with, and of course, you know, that will really give you some guidance. The other thing, of course, is your agent should have a chat with the listing agent before the offers. So in other words, you know, get a handle on how he's going to handle the offers. Maybe if it's possible, find out some motivation of the seller. You know, if the listing agent is good, he's going to honor his listing agent's obligations and disclose next to nothing, of course, okay? But having a good chit chat with that particular agent is probably a good idea. Get a handle on how they're going to handle multiple offers. Is it just going to be a one-shot deal, or is he going to let the buyers kind of, you know, almost be in that auction type atmosphere? Is he going to counter one? You know, you got to get a handle on that and find out how he's going to handle it, okay? So it's a good idea for your agent to have a little chat with the listing agent, okay? Now, brings me to the presentation. There's a couple things here. Should you or should your agent present in person as opposed to just sending it through email? And the answer is, if he can present in person, they should present in person. It absolutely helps, because you know, if you don't want your agent going in there and being a goof and doing all kinds of crazy things in there. But just using a little bit of charisma and personality, it sometimes makes the difference between that offer getting accepted and not getting accepted, okay? So when an agent has an opportunity to present directly to the seller, they should. But in today's environment, especially with DocuSigns and emails and all that kind of stuff, a lot of times the buyer's agent doesn't get a chance to present. And that's fine, because we've got to respect the seller's privacy. They want to have the privacy of making a decision in private, and that's fine, okay? But if there's a chance, the buyer's agent should go, okay? The other thing that you need to do, okay, when you are making an offer on a property and it's in a multiple offer situation, make sure that you as a buyer are readily available, okay? So there's nothing worse than, you know, let's say the offer's at 6 o'clock tonight, and all of a sudden you get a call from the listing agent 6:15, say, hey, we're kind of looking at your offer. We want to make maybe some tweaks here and there. We might be able to make it work. How soon could you get a hold of your buyer? Oh, I don't know. My buyer's at work, and he works at Toyota, and he can't be bothered until, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. That's dumb. How are you going to make this deal fly if your buyer is not available? There's other offers on the table. Don't let it happen, okay? Make sure that you as a buyer are readily available for the deal, because it's the first one, a lot of times, it's the first guy that can make the offer fly that's going to get the deal. You know, last week, my wife Karen was involved in a multiple offer. She was the listing agent. And what ended up happening was there was a few offers on the table. The guy who got it was the guy who was sitting out in front of the house with his buyer in the car, okay? Because they knew that if any changes were proposed to that guy, they could get the answer just like that. So make sure that you're readily available as a buyer when you're making an offer on a multiple offer situation, okay? The other thing, deposit. Make sure you come in with a good deposit. I don't think we have these discussions too much anymore. I don't see too many $500 or $1,000 deposits anymore, but they do come up from time to time. Don't be doing anything dumb like that. So if somebody asks for a $10 or a $20 or a $50,000 deposit, give it to them. The deposits are held in trust. It's not going anywhere. Nobody's stealing your money, Okay, so make sure you give them a good deposit. It's all part of your down payment anyway, so just use it, okay? Some listing agents will ask for the deposit in advance. So in other words, when you show up to the offer presentation, bring the deposit check, certified check or bank draft. Because here's what they're concerned about. The reason they ask that is because 99 times out of 100, traditionally the way offers have been handled is we make the offer, we get it accepted, and then we drop off the deposit later on in the day or the next day. Technically, we have 24 hours to give the deposit. But here's the problem, folks. If there's no deposit delivered, there's technically no deal. So let's say you're in a multiple offer situation, and all of a sudden, the offer is accepted, and then you don't deliver the deposit. Within 24 hours, that means that seller is at liberty to accept another offer because you haven't come good on your offer, okay? So that's a real problem. So if you can, it is advisable to give the deposit in advance. It strengthens your offer and helps your offer stand a better chance of getting accepted. Okay. Have your agent do the homework. I told you about that. Now, here's one of my pet peeves. When I'm dealing with a buyer, okay, and I show them a property, they fall in love with it, and all of a sudden the buyer says, we'd like to make an offer on it. And I say, well, that's great. They're presenting offers tonight. In fact, there's four offers on the property. And then the buyer goes, no, I don't think I want to make an offer anymore. And why not? And they say, well, we don't want to compete. We don't want to compete in a multiple offer situation. You know what? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because what you're looking for is you're looking for a home where no buyers are competing for the home. Do you think that that's a good home to buy? A home that nobody wants to make an offer on? That's silly. If you want to make an offer on a property, make the offer, regardless if you're competing or not. You don't pay to make an offer. Make the offer, write it, submit it. If it doesn't get put together, big deal. If you get a counter offer or you get dragged into a negotiation, you have the strength to either say yes or no. The power is in your hands, not in anybody else's. But if you say no to multiple offers, what you're saying is, I want to buy a house that nobody else wants to buy. And I guess what? That's a really good investment? No, it's not. It's a very bad investment. So it's just the environment we're in, folks. You're going to have to get into multiple offers if you want to buy a home that you love. Because guess what? If you love the home, that means everybody else loves the home, and you're just going to have to compete. That's the way it goes. Okay? Love letters, okay? Real trend in the business the last few years. So basically what happens is a buyer makes an offer on a property. They want to, obviously make an impact to the seller about the property and or about their situation, especially if their agent's not willing to go or can't go to the offer presentation. A lot of times a buyer will write what we call a love letter to the seller. So in other words, dear Mary and Bob, you know, we're Joan and Bill, and we've got three kids. We love your home. We've been watching your neighborhood forever. We love it here. We love the way the schools are nearby. We saw your pictures on the wall when we were through, and you have such a loving family. We'd like to bring our loving family in too. You know what? Sometimes those love letters don't work at all, because sometimes it's all about the money. They don't care about who's buying it. It's whoever shows up with the check. But a lot of times, there can be an impact. You know, I was involved in a deal a little while ago where it was an older gentleman. He was close to 90 years old. Money wasn't important to him, okay? What he wanted was his home to go into the right hands. He owned the home for years. I think it was around 50 years, 50 or 60 years. He wanted his home to go into a nice loving family like his loving family was. So if you get a chance, write a love letter. It doesn't hurt. If it doesn't work, big deal. It took you 10 minutes to do it. And if you're going to write a love letter, make sure you send a picture along too, a picture of you and your family. Words say a lot of things, but a picture says 1,000 words, right? So make sure that you do that if you're involved in a multiple offer. We talked about pre-inspections. I told you what I thought about those. And then the very last thing that I wanted to talk to you about was backup offers. What does that mean? So let's say you're in a multiple offer situation, several offers come to the table, you end up not getting the offer, okay? You're not winning the bid. Somebody else gets the bid. They get a conditional offer on financing or inspection, And those are usually 2, 3, 5 days, whatever. Don't stop because there's an accepted conditional offer. What I would suggest you to do is tell your agent to resubmit your offer as a backup offer. So in other words, if the deal is going to fall apart, okay, if the deal falls apart, you want your offer to take the front seat in terms of coming to get accepted, okay? So in other words, if I accept an offer, conditional on financing for 5 days, I lost, okay? Or I'm sorry, the seller accepts it, and then I'm one of the loser buyers that made the offer that didn't fly, I would resubmit my offer, make it conditional on the seller being released from the first offer. And then that way, you get right to the front of the line if the deal falls apart. Now, can it happen? Yes, it happened to me last week. Our buyers were in a multiple offer situation. We lost. It was conditional. We made a backup offer and the deal collapsed and our people got it. So that is another point that I want to emphasize. If you are making an offer on a property, you lose, don't be afraid to make a backup offer. Now, keep in mind, some listing agents will say, no, we're not going to accept them, because what they want to try and do maybe is create another multiple offer situation. But hey, you don't ask, you don't get. Do it, write an offer, maybe negotiate it. Who knows? It could fly. It doesn't cost you anything. Now, keep in mind, if the condition is 4 or 5 days long, that does take you out of the marketplace for 4 or 5 days. So if you do that and all of a sudden the house of your dreams shows up for sale the next day, you can't make a bid on that deal because you're now obligated to the one that you made that is the backup offer. Now, you can always put in a condition saying that it's conditional on you being released from another deal, but that doesn't really put you in a strong position to negotiate. Okay, so anyway, those are just a few of the points that I wanted to share with you about multiple offers. I don't think they're going away anytime soon. There's still an inventory issue. I think it's pretty much across the continent. Anybody I talk to in the real estate business, no matter where they are, they're all beating the same drum. There's not enough inventory. We're gonna get that. We've got a really robust market here in Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo. Everybody wants to live here. There's 175,000 immigrants that come into Ontario every single year, okay? Because they wanna live here. And these people are coming in with money and you're gonna have to compete with them. That's just the way it is, okay? Hope that helps. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at 519-624-9222. You can reach Karen at that number too. And that's for all your real estate and mortgage needs. Okay? We'll talk to you later, guys.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of the Real Estate Mortgage Show. If you have any real estate questions, please direct them to me at 519-624-9222 or walter@maximumresults.ca, or you can find me online at www.cambridgehouses.com. If your interests are in mortgages, please feel free to call 519-624-9222 or email karen@maximumresults.ca, or you can find her online at www.financial.ca. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a great week.